Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Up Status Podcast, an easy to listen to food, nutrition, and health podcast. I'm your host, Steph Polson, a registered nutritionist in Australia and New Zealand. And today I am delighted to have Charlotte Coltart, formerly Moore, but now Coltart, on the show from Sanitarium. Now, we are here to let you in on five surprising health benefits of eating more plant foods.
Sorry to interrupt. Steph here. This is part two of this episode, so if you haven't listened to part one yet, be sure to start there. Part one provides the first three surprising health benefits of eating more plant foods. Now, let me take you to where we left off in part one and let's crank into part two.
This next one is what everyone wants more of. I mean, everyone wants more of all the things we've talked about, but this one, especially if you have children, and if you're listening and it's 3 p.m. right now and you're in a desk job, you probably want this as well. If you stayed up late last night because there was a good show on, or you're just in the YouTube spiral and now you're regretting it the next morning, if you haven't guessed it by now, this one's energy. I think lots of people think about energy as, oh, I need to have some lollies before my workout so I have some energy. I need to have this chocolate bar because it's 3 p.m. I need some energy. I need to have this V drink that's going to give me some energy. Then we lose sight of the foundations and what actually gives you day-to-day consistent energy. Charlotte, what are the key components of plant foods that provide us with this energy? So, for one, plant foods provide us with energy. What are the key components that help us do that, get that?
I think the first one, and the one that's probably going to have the biggest impact, is that plant foods provide carbohydrates, right? And so carbohydrates, when we eat them, our bodies break them down into smaller units called glucose, and that's actually the preferred energy source for our body. So for our brain, but also for our muscles, it loves glucose. That's how, it's preferred energy source. And you touched on this, Steph. It's important, I think, to remember that not all carbs are created equal. So certainly things like lollies, soft drinks, cakes and things, when we eat them, our bodies break down those carbohydrates really quickly, and which can lead to, a big spike in blood sugars and then quickly a big fall. And so what you often find is that eating those foods might give you a quick pick-me-up, but then, oh gosh, you feel quite sluggish not long afterwards, right? And that's kind of, that's related much to our blood sugar responses. On the flip side, high fiber quality carbohydrates, so things like whole grains and legumes and whole fruits and veggies, our bodies break down those carbohydrates at a much slower and more steady rate, which means that the release of glucose into our body is again slower and steadier, and that helps to provide us with that awesome sustained energy that can get us through, through the morning or through the afternoon. And we really want to be prioritizing those types of foods and those types of carbs, in our diet. The other thing that plant foods offer is a range of vitamins and minerals, so things like magnesium, vitamin B1 and BC, sorry, BC, vitamin C. And all of those are involved in helping our body create and use energy. So again, yeah, another big tip for plant-based foods is that they help to give us those en our energy, but also the right type of energy.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I think it just comes back to consistency with this one. So having these core plant foods consistently in your dietary pattern is what is going to help you get out of bed, jump out of bed, be running around at 3 p.m., be chasing your kids to bed at 6 p.m. Without having to feel like you need these hits of energy across the day. But that's really hard to wrap your head around that if you haven't really felt the benefit, I suppose. Lastly, something that people start to think about, probably from their 30s, I reckon. Well, females at least anyway in their 30s. Males, unsure. this is our skin health. So sometimes I sort of think that what if they invested the money that they use topically, so on their body, face creams, all the rest of it, What if you invested some of a little bit of that money into the food that you're putting into your body? Because the foods that we eat really do impact the health of our skin.
Absolutely.
So, males out there, you can tell me when you start thinking about skin health. But skin health, Charlotte, what are the key components of plant foods that help with our skin health?
So I think one of them, and we kind of touched on it previously, is all of this new research that's coming out connecting gut health and our overall well-being. And one of those areas that they're looking at is certainly around gut health and skin health. As we said, eating more fiber, eating more plant foods, good for our gut, good for our body, good for our skin. But also, and I think this is one of the things we often overlook when we think about our skin health, is the role of vitamin C. So I don't know if you're, and maybe it's because I'm in my mid-30s now, my Instagram is just full of ads for collagen supplements. And that's all well and good, but vitamin C actually plays a huge role in helping our bodies produce collagen. We know collagen is important for things like having nice supple skin. Vitamin C is really important for that. And where do we get vitamin C from? Fruits and veggies. So yeah, loads of benefits again for eating more plant foods.
Yeah, I think that is such a strong core message right there is if you're thinking about your skin health, cool, think about your whatever you're putting on your face, but when it comes to your food, think about vitamin C and where do you get your vitamin C from. And it's not just about vitamin C in supplement form either. It's about vitamin C from food because you're getting all those other components of food, which Charlotte's been talking about throughout this entire session.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
yeah, collagen is just everywhere at the moment.
Oh, it is. And, especially at the minute with the old cost of living crisis and it being so expensive, to know that you can do something as simple as eat more fruit and veg, get some more vitamin C, and that can support your own body's collagen production. Like, I think that's really, a neat message for people. We don't need to be forking out lots of money for supplements, but just eating a
Definitely.
healthy diet.
Yeah. And I think people should look at this kind of feeds into what we're talking about next. They should look at their overall sort of like think about food as well as supplements essentially under the same bill, under the same expense for them. So if you're going to be spending more on supplements, does it mean you're drawing more away from your food? And really, is there some supplements that you're taking that you could eventually stop taking, and can that money be filtered into your food grocery bill? So, yeah, more on this side now, Shah. So, thank you so much for all that amazing information. There is a wealth of information there, people. So, go back and re-listen to it because you will pick on up on stuff that you didn't listen the first, didn't hear the first time. There's all these amazing health benefits of plant foods, and I don't think people do know a lot of them. So hopefully this really does help them consider and look at plant foods in a different way and think, okay, how can I add one more to my lunch, one more to my dinner? The statistics around plant food consumption isn't fantastic in Australia and New Zealand. So if we look at just fruit and vegetables, the stats are something like 10%. Well, less than 10% of Aussies and Kiwi adults are eating the recommended fruit and veg each day. And these stats do extend out to other food groups too, so legumes, for example. So what's going on, Charlotte? I know this is a really broad and hard question, but from your point of view, what's going on with the very low plant food consumption across our countries?
So I think, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is there's lots of things that impact what we eat, right? And I think particularly at the minute, one of the things that's impacting a lot of people's diet, and how much they can spend at the supermarket is the affordability of food, or this perceived idea that healthy food costs more, but actually it doesn't need to. And including more plant foods into your diet can actually help you save at the supermarket. Frozen veg, for example, a really great way to get more vegetables into your diet. Doesn't need to be expensive. It's often less expensive, particularly when certain fruit and veg are out of season. So, opting for a bag of frozen peas to keep in the freezer, or some mixed veg. It's a really nice, easy way to just chuck it in a stir fry, chuck it in a meal. They are a really great way to get more vegetables and plant foods in your diet. So is also just shopping like seasonally. Particularly at the minute, when we've had some climate events or and events that have impacted fruit and veggie production. It's looking at those foods that are seasonal, that are grown locally. They often tend to be cheaper. And getting a little bit experimental in the kitchen. So, broccoli, for example, if that's really expensive, could we sub that out for something else? Like, could you sub that for maybe bok choy or cauliflower or another vegetable that might be in season and not as expensive? And then the other one that I think is, we sometimes forget is tinned legumes. They are probably my number one, money saving hack is
Yes, and underrated
underrated food. Such a
food.
good way to get those benefits of plant foods, but also extend your meal. So, if you're making something like a spaghetti bolognese, like adding a can of tinned lentils to the bolognese, great big health tip for plant proteins, but also it means that bolognese goes further, and it's a really great cheap way of extending that meal, because tinned legumes are very affordable. You can buy a few cans, keep them in your pantry. They're a really nice, easy way of adding more plant proteins into your diet.
Yeah, they're a dollar. Oh,
They're
they're
a dollar.
about a dollar.
Yeah.
On special, they're probably a dollar or less than a dollar.
One tip, though, and I've heard this from a number of people, is you do need to drain them. So I have had like people who are cooking with legumes just chuck the whole tin in and then wonder
Oh,
why
and
it's
then wonder why it
real
tastes like
runny.
nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, or like, oh, it's just really runny. It's like, no, drain them first.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's great to choose ones that are tinned in spring water, but if you are choosing, if the ones that are in brine are cheaper, giving them a good rinse beforehand to help get rid of all some of that extra salt. But yeah, do make sure you drain them
Yes.
first. So yeah, I think that's one of the things that impacts people's consumption of plant foods, is this perception that it can be quite expensive.
Yeah, I like
I
that
think
perception as well. And just on
it's
the frozen veggies, I do see a bit more variety coming out. Like I've seen now. You know how there's spinach balls and they're like smushed up spinach into a bowl? I've seen what they're calling, I think it's free form spinach. So it's like just spinach that you would get, like baby spinach, and it's just in a bag frozen. It's not squished up into a bowl. So I was like, okay, that's quite interesting. And then I think edamame is another one. Obviously, that's a legume, a soybean, but they are affordable. They're frozen that you can just easily buy them and chuck them into a stir fry or salad as well.
Absolutely.
That's great, Shah. So what else? What's another major one you think for people?
Yeah, I think again, it's like, and I like to say the word perceived
Yeah.
taste.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit of a barrier for people to trying more plant foods. I think particularly for busy parents who, the last thing they want is to create a meal, cook something, serve it to their family, and then end up being spat out, or people turn their nose up at it. So one tip I have is, if you're wanting to include some more plant foods into your diet, is trying to introduce them alongside flavors that your family already know and enjoy. So again, things like spaghetti bolognese, if that's something that you routinely cook, trying to boost up the amount of plant foods you've got in that spaghetti bolognese by adding some grated carrots, adding some tinned legumes, so and some tinned lentils in there. You know it's a flavor that your kids and your family enjoy, and it's a great vehicle for adding in some more plant foods. Similarly, like nachos, you can add in a can of kidney beans in there, or like a curry, adding in some chickpeas or maybe some tofu, and a great way to get your family familiar with these new plant foods alongside a flavor they already enjoy. And eventually, over time, you can maybe increase the amount of plant proteins or plant foods that are in that dish. And eventually maybe even replace the meat that's in the dish altogether. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think taste is one that, or like that perceived taste, because I've been very fortunate. I grew up, my mum has always cooked lots of plant food, so I grew up eating lots of tofu, eating lots of chickpeas. I've always really enjoyed the flavour of it, but I know for some people who haven't grown up introduced those flavours, it's the perceived taste of it, thinking, oh, that can't be that yum,
Yes.
can be a bit of a barrier. I think also like just knowing what to do with those foods, right, is can be a bit of a barrier for people. And you often hear like people have got a tin of beans that have been in their pantry for
Since
years that
1990.
absolutely like, what am I going to do with this? I don't know how to cook with beans. So I think it's also just looking for recipe inspiration. I think that's a really great way to get more plant foods into the diet.
Just on there,
And
I think it's actually even hard to look for recipe and well, you sort of go online these days, type something in, and just a lot does come up, and you click into something and you've got to scroll down ages to even get to the recipe. They do have a jump to recipe button now, which is great. And then there's like 50 ads popping up, then there's this little video playing in the corner, and it's like, I just want a recipe and I just want to be inspired. But now I don't even want to go and do that because that's just annoying me. So I feel like that now is even a barrier for people, is because it's just a lot's going on when you're just typing into Google.
yeah, I absolutely agree, Steph. I think all of those things can be barriers to people. And also, I think like knowing that the recipe you're going to cook is going to be tasty, it's not going to be too tricky, it's going to be affordable, it's going to be quick. It's really hard to know those things. And
And the health, the nutrition of it too. I think people
absolutely.
expect something to be healthy or nutritious, but there's things in there that they don't necessarily know are like really adding to the sodium content, for example. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all of those barriers are actually sort of the idea behind why here at Sanitarium we've created recently this new cookbook called Easy Eats. And it was really developed to address all of those barriers we chatted about. So yeah, time, affordability, taste. So all of the recipes taste really delicious. But also nutrition. So all of the recipes have been developed alongside our team of dietitians to make sure that they've got lots of all of those foods that we want more of. So lots of whole grains, legumes, and veggies, but while also limiting those nutrients that we don't want as much in our diet. So saturated fat, salt and sugar, for example. So by cooking these recipes, they won't just taste good, but they'll also be good for you, and good for your family. And I can, hand on heart say they are really delicious. My personal favorite, there's this absolutely scrumptious eggplant and kumara dal that is, top notch. It makes awesome leftovers. So yeah, that would be my top go-to, although all of them are really yummy.
Awesome. So Easy Eats, the cookbook. You're right. Time, affordability, the absolute classics, but I really think people need to start actually thinking about the nutrition of the recipe that they're cooking. And you can't just because this recipe because the website says something healthy or something nutrition, does that mean that they're actually following any sort of criteria when they're developing their recipes? Probably not, maybe, but probably not. Sanitarium, you've got a team full of excellent dietitians who are working very closely with your recipe developers. So I think these are great recipes that can be trusted on all counts. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the Easy Eats cookbook, Sha?
Yeah, so we are actually giving it away. So the Easy Eats cookbook can be found at our sanitarium.com website. So you just head over there and you can get a free digital copy by subscribing to Holicious Living. And Holicious Living is our monthly e-newsletter that provides awesome articles about nutrition, but also recipe inspiration. So not just the ones that are in Easy Eats, but a whole range of wonderful plant-based recipes to help to support you, eating well. We've also got a giveaway at the minute. So when you subscribe, you can go in the draw to win one of 1,000 printed copies. So this is our biggest cookbook giveaway ever. And excitingly, we also have 20 copies for your listeners, Steph. I feel a bit like Oprah saying that, but
Yes, I am so grateful for that and super excited to be able to give away 20 of these hard copy recipe books, easy recipe books to listeners. Thank you so much, Sanitarium, for that. Listeners, all you need to do is in the show notes of this podcast, there is a link which says giveaway. So what we need to do is click the giveaway. It takes you to a page where you enter your name and your email, and you would go into the draw to win the giveaway. That link will also tell you what the giveaway is. So you've got to be in to win. Enter your details, get in there, and yeah, why wouldn't you?
start cooking, get some plant foods, get all those benefits.
Yes, start somewhere. I think that's it. What's one food or three foods? One to three foods that you may have heard Shara or I talk about that you know, yep, I can add that to my grocery list and I can add that to this particular meal. Maybe you could do that for one and then go download the Sanitarium recipe book and pick a recipe from there. Charlotte, what would be three take-home messages that you would like people to take away from this podcast? So if we've got them doing, I might have already covered what you're going to say, but if we've got them doing those two things and also go to the giveaway, so you're adding a food, you're doing the Sanitarium download, you're doing the Up Status giveaway, what are some three take-home messages for listeners?
I think firstly, eating more plant foods is going to have a whole range of benefits in your life, right? So eating a predominantly plant-based diet is, it helps to support us to live healthier and longer lives, but it can also provide us with those benefits that we chatted through in the podcast that you can start experiencing, in the shorter term. It's not something that you have, make this change now and then I have to wait 40 years to see a benefit.
Yeah, to be like, oh, sweet, my cholesterol hasn't gone up.
Yeah,
Whoa.
awesome. It's like, no, cool. I can have more energy. I can,
Yeah.
my gut health can be better. I can, have beautiful, look like a 20-year-old, even though I'm
Yes.
35. getting those, all those great benefits. So I think, that's probably the first one is loads of benefits from eating more plant-based foods. The second one, and I think you just summarized this perfectly, Steph, is start small. It's, I think with any dietary change, it's those small changes we make over time that we're able to sustain long term. That's when we're going to see the greatest benefits for ourselves. So I think, whether it's adding the type of legume to your favorite family meal, or if it's just, adding one more vegetable to your diet each day. I know vegetables.co.nz and 5 Plus a Day have just launched this awesome new campaign. Could add one more veg, and that
Yeah.
simple message of just having one more vegetable, that's
One
something that
more.
just
Yeah.
one more doesn't, it doesn't need to be too scary. Or even trying, one meat-free meal a week. Starting small, making a lifelong habit. Once you've nailed that, perhaps trying something else. It's those, small changes we make over time.
Yeah.
That we're going to, have those great lifelong benefits. And then I think the third one is trying to make it easier for ourselves to make those changes. So having things like tinned legumes in the cupboard, maybe having a pot of falafels in the fridge, or maybe having some tofu, that then makes it really easy to have a go-to option when you're cooking, rather than consciously always having to think, oh, okay, I need to add more plant proteins, go to the supermarket. Having those things on hand make those small changes, much, much easier, much more manageable on a day.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come along today, Charlotte. I know you have a really busy role, so it's awesome that you've done this. We have absolutely loved hearing some of your messages. I know that listeners would have about plant foods. And for those listeners, make sure you share this with someone that you love and care about. I'm sure you know someone out there that would gain a lot from hearing some of these messages. So just give it a share. And be on your merry way. Charlotte, thanks for all the work you do in the nutrition industry. Keep being amazing and come back and join us soon, please.
Thanks, Steph. Love chatting with you. See you soon.